Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome, y'all.
Hi.
Night of the Living Podcast.
Although it is daytime.
Day of the Living Podcast.
Are we liars?
We're liars.
Flicks.
It's nighttime somewhere. Hi.
Hi. In space.
Hi.
In space. No one can hear you scream. Hi. My name's
in
Amy.
In Spanx, no one can hear you queef.
I can't believe that to be true. Do you understand how Spanx work?
No, it holds it. Clearly. It cradles it. There's actually a panel and a reservoir for queefs.
Yeah.
The best.
You can save them for later.
Did you hear?
And then you empty anything? It like the grease trap from a Foreman grill. You just slide it out between your thighs.
You have to make sure you empty it regularly or else it'll explode.
Mm. No. If anything, the Spanx will squeeze out a queef. And...
And with pressure and it'll fire it out there.
You could call spanking out a queef.
Okay. You know what's awful about this? Is that just before, you know, as the intro is playing, Freddie's like, this is your show, baby. I'm just going to sit back.
Relax and enjoy it.
And I rolled my eyes at him.
You missed the part where I said, and enjoy it.
This would not be the way I would want to open this show.
Oh, you Amy, you lady comics. Lady comics talking about queefs and periods.
All the time.
I think if you can't stomach this intro, you don't deserve our showgirls discussion.
I can stomach it. I just would not have
you,
preferred
who's
it to
listening.
Be.
The listener, okay. Not you. Okay. Okay. I know you can stomach it.
All right, thank you.
This is a litmus.
So yeah. I am joined today by these lovely fellas who make my days brighter, and one of them makes my nights sexier.
Mm-hmm. Which one will it be? Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Andy.
Hey, Amy.
Yeah.
Everybody get AIDS and shit.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And Kelly's here.
Ice your nipples.
Will not.
Ice your nipples.
No!
He's trying to help you out, Amy, because he's
trying to help you.
How sore they are.
They're so sore.
Do you want to be a showgirl or not?
I ice my nipples before every podcast. I'm erect, and so should you be.
Freddie is here, and he's erect.
Mm-hmm.
So the gang's
because
all
he did
here.
The right thing with ice.
Correct.
Yeah, listeners, play along with us, listeners. Go to your refrigerator. Give me your freezer.
And ice your nipples.
Ice your nipples. Yeah. It's okay.
It's for your health.
And it's not even a waste of ice because, you know, Elsa likes ice, so I'll like ice my nipples up and just give her the ice to chew on.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy. That was gross. I don't know why I had to do that. Today is the day where we're going to talk about showgirls because that was my choice.
Yes.
Because I was like, I needed something stupid and silly and fun.
And she married him.
It did. But then we watched it and we'll talk about it later. Like I'm in my head about the complicated mental illnesses intersecting in a very bad way, but we'll get there.
Mm.
We'll get there. Before that, Andy's going to review a movie.
Yep. Andy.
Little Joe.
You mean Kelly? Right? Little... No, Andy.
Yeah, it's me. No, it's Kelly.
Bitch is.
You fucked my head too much. During before we recorded, Andy played a joke on Kelly that then now has infected my brain.
Yep. He threw acid in my face.
Yeah.
And then some of it splashed onto Freddie.
through the Zoom.
I don't know. My jokes aren't firing today.
You're doing
man.
Great. Listen, we're all doing great. We just recorded the intro to
It's Amy just proves that we're not doing great.
We just I can't do it. Can we just
stop? We can't help it. It's a Sunday show.
Andy's going to be reviewing Little Joe, which has a mushroom head in it.
Origins, episode 128 from 2009. We did an introduction to it, and I refer to the movie You Got Served as Are You Being Served?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're doing great.
And then Freddie plused it.
We had a plussing situation that happened.
Yeah, you'll have to listen.
Yeah, because shit comes out. It gets real.
So real.
You have to be a patron, of course, to listen to that. And if you would like to support the show with your money, go to patreon.com/NOTLP.
Give us your cash.
To listen to that.
We'll give you stickers and shirts and shit.
That's right. Not shit. If you're expecting...
Won't give you shit unless you just really want it.
USPS.
We'll give you a private dance, like in the Showgirls.
United States Postal Service. Postal. We'll mail you poop.
No, we won't.
They mail poop now. I've seen the commercials.
Well, yeah, the little box of poop is like, hey, put your poop in me and send me to your doctor.
The old cancer box. It's one of them cancer shit box categories.
Flip it, reverse it a little bit?
You got to put your thing down first.
Yeah, you mail your shit away, and they check it for cancers.
Yeah, it's a colon. So it's a commercial for this thing where if you're not like in a super high risk category for colon cancer, you can just mail your poop instead of getting all the other fun stuff.
Oh, what's a high risk category?
Over 50.
Family history, over certain age.
How big is this box?
I don't know because I've never had to do it.
It's my shit.
There's a commercial that airs. There's several versions of it, and
it show how to do it.
No, it's a little animated box being like, "Hey, I'm super cool. Put your shit in me." But it occurred to me watching it the other day, like, this little animated guy is a box designed to put your shit in.
They should have made it like a soft serve cone.
Yeah. But it's
why do
box.
I hear Chris Parnell's voice?
On top of it.
I was just saying, it's like I hear Chris Parnell's voice as that character, and
I don't know if it's not him.
But in my mind, it changes to him. Yeah,
it should be,
and also
a very Jerry Smith kind of thing.
The face of the box should be on top, so that you can poop in his mouth.
You could also really fuck with him. You could make the place where you put your shit its butt. And it's like you take shit out of your butt.
Into their butt.
And you put it in their butt.
So, you know, the question is...
Butt to butt.
Don't know anything about this beyond...
When the company came... When they came, they came everywhere. No, when they came to their packaging design division, and they're like, okay, what are we working on today? It's the box people shit in.
They don't shit in it.
And send back to us. It's the shit box.
That was the working name. On the schematics. Shitbox V1.1.
We better get this shitbox contract or I'm going to hang myself.
We got an opportunity to bid for the shitbox job. You guys got to do this right. We got one shot at this shitbox.
Well, I like how Kelly said, like, that's version one. I mean, there had to be other prototypes and testing.
Like,
so I just, there were I'll meetings. Just see how, I like to see the boxes that didn't work out.
They are covering shit.
Someone who went to school for engineering and like specialized in like medical devices. This was their day one day.
Oh, could you imagine the complex solution someone presented in lieu of the shit box and was like, guys, it's just 14 steps. I don't understand what. And then the other guy is like, he comes out with his hands together like Steve Jobs introducing a new iPhone. And is like, it's just a box you shit in.
The shit box designer had to receive critiques. Can you imagine constructive criticism on your shitbox design?
You come home to your wife and you're like,
go back and give them what they want.
It's a fucking shitbox. It shouldn't be this hard.
If you're on the subway and you're venting to another designer that's riding home, and he's just bitching and bitches. Well, at least you're not designing, you know, like a box people shit in or anything. And then the guy's like, the truth hits him, and then he has to like reevaluate his entire life.
He's like, I went to MIT.
I'll shave my legs for this.
It's important that the box doesn't look like something that has shit in it, because you don't want to be embarrassed that your mailman sees.
So what can Brown do for you?
It's not just a Tupperware box.
No.
No, it's just a cardboard, a white. Why? Why?
None of us know what it is. Nobody here has ever gotten it. But we just have a little animated commercial.
Would you feel cheap?
I need to know, listeners, if anybody has shit in a box and mailed it.
Yeah, let us know about the shit box. But for
non-fucking with somebody reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to hear the non. Yeah, we're having imaginations.
I don't.
What's in the box?
I don't think you have to put a full on turd in it, right? Shouldn't you just be able to like scoop a little?
Oh, Andy, that'd be another fun video to make. All you got to do.
Meme out of it, actually. We're gonna take
what's in the box.
That, yeah, and then we're gonna show a picture of the shit box.
Yeah, do that.
Andy, you just wrote a meme.
Can you still do a Kevin Spacey meme, or are they also canceled?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Well, we'll just do Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't need to have him in the shot. Yeah. You just need Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt's the one, so what's in the box?
Yeah. Brad shit in this case.
Goodness. Choking it up.
Because there's shit in the box.
I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow is pretty shitty, so it's not like a far.
Oh, damn.
She tried to burn a man alive with a vagina candle.
Her goop exploded everywhere.
Yeah. Well, great.
Oh, man. It just occurred to me, like, the horrible things that some men are probably doing with that Gwyneth Paltrow vagina candle. Anyways, go ahead. I don't know why that wasn't my first thought when I heard about it.
I was about to segue to...
Nope. Nope.
But I can't now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You derailed the segue. So. You got a derailed segue.
Segways don't even run on rails, and somehow you did it.
Freddie Morris.
They're just wheels, Amy. Little baby wheels.
This is... We're having a good time.
Are we?
I am.
I think it's because a big weight has lifted off our shoulders.
Yeah.
We have a new president.
New president. Yeah.
Vice president.
I didn't even think of it that way. It does feel like different now.
It is.
I feel like I even do things better now. I mix music better now. I sleep better.
You fuck better.
I always fuck pretty good.
But now you fuck better, though.
But I do fuck slightly better.
Hey, they wanted us to build back better.
Yeah. Oh, so. Joe. That slogan, Joe, come on.
Build back better.
BBB.
BBB, baby.
Body, yaddy, 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 body.
You
got to
give him some, cut him some slack.
He's 1,000 years old.
That's a people thing to come up with. It's 3 B's.
People like alliteration, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's because
I do.
My name begins with a B.
Oh.
It fits.
Oh, I never even thought of that.
It does fit. Yes, if you spent portions of your day on Wednesday crying, raise your hand. I'm raising my hand.
Oh, my God.
And who else
what?
Stood
what
up?
What was your question?
If you spent portion of your day on Wednesday crying in happy tears, in beautiful tears, and like relief tears and holy shit tears.
Something occurred to me. Joseph R. Biden, J. R. Biden, Gerb. He's going to bring back gerbs.
That's right. Gerbs.
I don't want to laugh at that.
That's what he should have done instead of triple B.
I don't want to laugh.
Gerbs.
Oh my God. He's going to bring back gerbs.
He's bringing back gerbs.
He's going to be the Irma Gerd president. The president.
People are going to be offering him hand gerbs, blow gerbs,
the reverse president.
All right, everybody. You leave
Joseph Robinette alone.
Robinette.
In this house, he's called Joe Biden.
Yeah. Joe Biden? That sounds like an alien from Star Trek.
Joe Biden.
He's going to Starbucks. Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a really special day. It really was it wore me out that day.
Is it because of all that singing of Amazing Grace you did with Garth Brooks?
You bet your ass I sat in here and I sang along with him.
It was sweet.
You know what? It was sweet. Like, I actually choked up a little bit. Like, oh, Garth Brooks. That is so cheesy and corny.
Well, that guy's full of love.
I do enjoy Garth Brooks. I have no real issues with Garth Brooks. And in fact,
I have no real issues with Garth Brooks. He's a perfectly cromulent man.
But I will say, I really enjoyed him wearing jeans to the inauguration. Let's normalize being fucking comfortable.
I agree with that 100%.
In places.
I thought about this.
It was outside.
We finally saw John Wick, right? because it's been one of those movies that both of us, I think, had anxiety about watching because of the opening mm-hmm. sequence with the dog.
Yeah.
But that aside, why is he dressed so nice to go kill people?
I know.
That was the part of it. Dude. Yeah. Like if you went, like if you went to contract killing as your line of work, you already, don't you feel though, like you're bucking the trend. You're like, I can't do a 9-to-5 rat race. And then you dress like you're going to the office to kill somebody. That always bothers me. That trope bothers me. I think they should be, contract killers should always be in sweats and Uggs. Like he should have been in a pair of sweatpants that said Juicy on the butt and some Uggs and he would have a hoodie, like a fleece hoodie.
Leggings and an infinity scarf.
Yeah. Just comfort. Dress for comfort. Anyways, that's my rant.
Yeah. And that's why I really appreciated like all the pantsuits at the inauguration, because ladies, it's too cold to be in a dress.
Do you feel anyone was disappointed that he didn't come out as Chris Gaines to do?
Oh like, my God.
There was like one person that was real excited because they thought that would happen.
We had a very in-depth.
It was Joe Biden. He's a big Chris Gaines fan.
We had a very in-depth Chris Gaines conversation on the meetup Thursday.
Oh yeah, we did.
Like we got into it.
Yeah.
So. I'm just saying this is what you're missing if you don't keep time open on Thursday nights to come to a Patreon Zoom meeting is mm-hmm. a deep, deep, deep Chris Gaines conversation. They'll change, you know, the way you think about music.
And life.
And life.
In general.
It's true.
And then if you know, the inauguration day and a safe day for us to say goodbye to motherfucking Donald Trump.
I'm sorry, who? I don't know that name.
It does feel good, doesn't it?
I don't know her.
I don't know her either.
You don't need to devote any more energy to that.
Yeah, I haven't thought about him really at all. Even on that day, I didn't say goodbye. I just was like, good. Yeah.
Eat shit, motherfucker.
Somebody described it as a fever dream. Who was that?
Lots of people, I'm sure.
Well, recently, we just heard somebody's talking about it. They said it's like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did.
Like the last 4 years didn't happen.
But what I was segueing into was.
Don't cry because it's over.
Yeah.
Don't you. Is that like is it a defense mechanism? Like the same way you block out a traumatic thing?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's protection.
It's so strange.
But.
What were you going to segue into, Amy?
On Thursday. So we had this beautiful Wednesday. And then on Thursday, it was the anniversary of Andy being born 41 years ago.
41,
that's
baby. The first time I heard that say out loud.
I know.
How's it feel?
I'm in my 40s. Ooh, mm-hmm. I'm getting randy.
Yeah, you got to get an electric vehicle that holds kids.
Why?
I don't
Who's
know.
Kids?
Like this a is what are, these you, are. You didn't have kids.
Aren't these the old? These are the old time. The old expectations. You, Andy, you should have us taking kids to soccer right now. But we're going to hang out and play video games instead.
That's what we do instead.
And
yes, ma'am.
This is just an affirmation and confirmation that I made the right choices in my life to this point, other than the obvious bad ones.
40s are good. I don't have to go to soccer anymore.
Yeah. It's good
my
stuff.
Kids are not doing that anymore.
You're men. You're men.
They're men.
Yeah. They're wonderful men. I love them both.
Oh, I told someone I would do something. So our friend of the, I hope you don't mind me doing this impromptuly. Friend of the show, Rob Best, has just published a new novel.
Ooh, I like his writing.
He is an author. He is a friend. He's I was a best. Fan first, friend second. And he just put out a new book. It's called New Year's Day. And I've got to kind of be, see this through the entire sort of process. I even remember him sort of telling me about the seed of this idea way, way back at a Horror Hound weekend many, many years ago. I feel very fortunate to have got to read early drafts and give input. And I got an advanced copy because I'm, you know, special. Me. anyway, he is a friend of the show. If you, he put out three really good zombie trilogy called the Memorial Trilogy.
Yeah, I co-signed. Those are very good.
Yeah, that's like I said, that's how we sort of met. And so if you like good action-y zombie novels, definitely check out his other stuff. And he has a page on I'll put it on the old page later.
Robert, I want to make a request while Kelly looks up your page. Can you publish your books to Apple Books and I'll buy them?
Freddie!
Because I like to read on my iPad. Or if, are they on Kindle?
Okay, well...
Yes.
I can read on Kindle.
It's probably on Amazon.
I feel like an old man right now.
You are.
Can I, you know, I just don't understand how I open my garage door with this thing.
Yeah, look for New Year's Day on Amazon. It's on there. New he Year's says Day. It is.
Robert, our best.
Yeah. Robert, our best.
But also send it to iBooks, okay. Apple Books. Cause,
shut up. You know what? Just shut your mouth.
I might buy it twice.
You're choosing beggar.
Everybody care to Freddie, please.
Please. Okay. Robert, if you could just call me every night around bedtime and read a chapter to me.
Yeah, he'd probably do that. I'm working out with him a time where we can talk to him about it. Sounds good. On this program.
Program?
That's an easy one because I know him personally.
Yes. All right, cool.
I just have to brag about how many
authors I know.
You're very special.
And Arthurs.
I do know... I don't know any Arthurs actually. Unless okay. Now I'm going to get a call. Somebody's going to text me in a second, like, bro.
I'm your son.
How'd you forget? So you can't your name start is Arthur. Yeah. And I just said, I don't know you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And we don't want to start listing authors we know because then you forget somebody and then they're like, you forgot me. Yeah. I should have been the first person you thought of.
It's because his name is Art. And like, that's why I forgot Arthur.
Oh, yeah, your brother.
Yeah. Is your brother an Arthur, not just Art?
No, he's an Art. But
oh, okay.
Some Arthurs go still by safe. Art.
Okay, I always sympathize with you guys because I'm just Freddie, and you're just Andy, and he's just Art. And then if you had told me that that was a lie, I don't know where we would be.
In your relationship?
The last 43 years of your life, Freddie, have been a lie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. We're going to...
So thank you for everybody who wished me happy birthday and stuff like that. And if you haven't, there's still time.
Andy's birthday may have been a few days ago, but there's still time.
I love you so much, Andy. Yeah.
Thank you so much for everybody for all the birthday love.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday until it's Freddie's birthday on the 29th.
And then I can go back to my hole.
Yes.
Back to your hole.
And then it only gets to be Freddie's birthday for 2 days, and then it's my birthday.
So, Andy, because it was Andy's birthday, I bullied Andy into starting to play Switch games, and he's starting to like it. Like that's what happens is I force people to do things until they like it.
He ducked my head in the toilet, mm-hmm. So I said, "I'll play."
Somebody's you're gonna rolling. Love this. But we play last night. I pissed my pants laughing.
You literally. Did actually.
We are playing a game called Totally Reliable Delivery Service.
This is the stupidest game ever, and I really kind of love it.
It's fantastic.
If you like wobbly people,
what is it?
It's called
wobbling about.
It's called Totally Reliable Delivery Service. That's on everything. You can get it on anything. I think you can play it on your phone even.
Yeah.
And it's cross-platform on phone. Like I think Android can play with Apple. But what you do is you there's four people and you have to deliver a package. You go pick it up and it's one of they're rag dolls. They're these fat really sloppily obese rag dolls.
Okay, imagine if somebody was paralyzed from the waist up.
Yeah.
Basically.
But they still had control over their legs.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
So it's like weeble wobbles?
You like kind of flop your arms around and you grab stuff and then you have to like wobble over to the truck and put it in and everything's unstable and crazy.
And you can fart. You can fart and knock people out
You can just fart and the fart mechanic... It's not only just so you can fart in the game, but also so you can fart and like if you're laying on your back, launch yourself into the air like in Swiss Army Man. It's the most fun. If you guys play it together, you will have the best time. I guarantee it.
I'm super excited. We should definitely get this.
You'll like it for sure.
Get this on the schedule.
Yeah.
The schedule.
If you ever do decide to get like a system to play it on, I think probably the Wii, because it's one of those games I feel like you can just pick up anywhere and kill time with it. Did I say Wii? I meant Switch.
Switch. Or you can get a System of a Down. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Of course, there's always the phone if you have a big enough screen on your phone. Anyways, that was not an ad. That was just real enthusiasm.
All right, kids.
Uh-huh.
We're moving this shit along.
Patreon.
It's your show, Amy, so we can do whatever you want.
It's my body and I'll do what I want. No, it's party. It's our party and we'll do what we want.
It's our party body.
It's our body, yaddy.
Addy, 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 addy.
Are we stalling while Freddy gets situated?
Amy, fourth wall stuff. We're body yaddying until Freddy gets situated. Okay.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Our aim was to create a plant with a scent that makes its owner happy.
We are entering a new era here. The first mood-lifting antidepressant happy plant.
We've received orders from all over the world.
I just wanted to say that I feel really proud to be working with you.
Look what I have for you. What do you say we call him Little Joe? You have to take good care of it. Keep it warm. Talk to it. It needs attention.
What's so special about it?
It makes you happy.
Haven't you noticed how Chris has changed? I think Little Joe's pollen has triggered something. Little Joe changes the people he infects.
You're starting to notice too, aren't you?
Fear can distort our perception of reality.
If I made a mistake, then it's my fault.
It seems that this has all been a bit much for you.
He frightens me.
You're a good mother. But which of your children will you choose?
Good night, Little Joe.
That looks really beautiful.
That was a pretty cool trailer.
Yeah, Little Joe. What a cute title too, huh?
Yeah. Darling.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the trailer said, it's about a plant that you have to take care of it. You have to actually talk to it and touch it and give it more love than you would a normal house plant.
Like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, exactly. It's an electronic plant. You have to take care of it more than the regular house plant, and it rewards you by emitting this very pleasant aroma or scent that also kind of releases pheromones or something like that into the air, and it makes you happy. Oh. I don't know what those, you know, what are those drugs called?
Serotonin, SSRIs, dopamine?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So it makes you happy, but, you know, of course, there's some sinister things that it goes on.
Who ever heard of anything that you inhale that makes you happy? Yeah. That's crazy.
That's crazy talk. Yeah, it's more of a slow burn type movie. That's my, but it burned a little too slow.
Oh,
that's my one criticism of the movie. It was a little too long of the tooth for me.
I gotcha.
It was like it clocked in like 1:45, I think, but I think it could have been just trimmed down to maybe hour 30, which is, in my opinion, the perfect time for a movie.
It looks a lot like young Cronenberg stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's maybe I'm totally off base here, and I probably am because I'm not that bright, but I think they were going for like a 50s, 60s, like Douglas Sirk type look because... Oh. I feel like plant movies, like killer plant movies, are very popular in the 50s and 60s because it's like the B-movie schlock stuff. That's just my theory.
And it's an easy prop to make.
Yeah. But like the best part of the movie is the atmosphere, like the look of it. I mean, you could tell if you saw the trailer, you could saw these like just pops of color. It's very saturated.
Yeah. It looks great. Right.
Yeah. It just, it's very sinister. The look of it, because everything else is so like stark and sterile, but you have just these pops of color that just draw you in, which I think is kind of deliberate.
Oh yeah.
Cause you know how like plants are like brightly colored to like
lure bees and shit,
to lure pollinators. I think that was a deliberate choice.
Pollinators. If you like vegetables. What is it? If you like vegetables, fruit and fresh flowers. That's from A Bug's Life at Disney World.
Oh my.
The dung beetles say, if it weren't for us, you'd be in shoulder high waist. Shoulder high waist.
So, Andy.
And even I think the lady's haircut is like a mushroom cut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It looks good on her, though. Looks good on her,
baby.
I think it's kind of like, I think that was deliberate to like recall like a mushroom, but you know, and how to release spores.
Do they show Amy like making a face at her and going like,
yeah, because I don't like, she won't eat that man.
I don't like mushrooms, so I won't eat that lady's hair.
She won't eat her hair knowingly. I put a lot of her hair in our last meal and you didn't even say a word.
You did.
Yeah. When you remember those long red things you were pulling out and you were like, what is that? And I'm like, saffron. She's like, we can't afford saffron. Wink.
You son of a bitch.
Turns out this actor's hair is cheaper than saffron. And also recommended if you may also like.
That's funny because her name is Saffron, the actress. Yeah,
Saffron Jenkins.
Oh, no.
She's from Wales.
All right, so
from the famous Wales Jenkins,
you know the Welsh Jenkins.
Welsh,
I'm just wild about
they're so old school. They don't even call themselves Welsh anymore. They're Welsh, which is from like way back, pre-Celtic.
Oh, they're Walesian.
Yeah,
it's a baby wheel.
It's a baby wheel.
I like how they handle the when they release the plant. It releases the spores and. It takes over your body, not your body, but your mind.
Your body yaddy.
It's very, the changes that it does to you are very subtle. You don't turn to a pod person that doesn't act like a normal person. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean like pod. It's basically the whole phenomena of the people who were with QAnon where you look at them and you're like, oh, they couldn't have sniffed little Joe.
They look normal.
And then you're like, wait a minute. They really sniffed little Joe hard. Mm-hmm.
I know of a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yikes. Well, the plot of the movie is that the plant is
red. Also, is a giveaway.
It is infertile or sterile. What is it called when you can't reproduce?
Sterile or infertile.
Sterile.
It depends on if you're giving or taking, Andy.
Freddy.
Just saying, that's the perspective.
I'm more of a bottom, so I'm a taker.
So yeah, so you're barren.
Yeah. So.
So if anyone plants their seed in you, nothing will grow.
Nothing will grow. Your fields have been salted.
Except shame. But the plant is sterile, so it can't reproduce. So the point of the reason it's taken over your body is to... My theory is that it's mutating and the spores are like the next version of this plant because it can't reproduce on its own. So it's making... When you inhale these... spores or the pollen, it makes you randy.
Oh.
Makes you want to have sex.
That makes sense.
So I think that's it. That's its way of reproducing because it can't reproduce on its own. So it's making more little Joes.
I see.
I really like the sound of this and I love the way the trailer looks. So I think I'm gonna have to watch this one.
And the soundtrack is really interesting too. It's got these like atonal sounds a lot and very exotic music, which I think is also deliberate because
Andy, you know, it's just like, called hip hop. Jesus.
I love plants as monsters in sci-fi.
Yeah.
Well, I like,
yes.
The way they handle this, because normally in sci-fi movies with plants, you got these like killer giant plants that eat you.
Right. Yeah.
But this one is the way they handle it is very subtle.
It eats you, but starting with your bottom. More,
That's the what way I they love. Handle
this one is more sinister and like subtle.
Which I think is all, I mean, because yeah, like you said, normally it just becomes like a man-eating plant situation or something. But I do like using plants in interesting and, you know, unusual ways.
I bet you do.
Yeah. to be.
I've seen your celery awfully brown for someone who doesn't eat peanut butter.
Well,
I hate you so much.
Why don't you mind your own beeswax?
That sentence, right? I've seen your celery.
Detective Pikachu. It was so, what are you trying to prove?
It was so accusatory. I've seen your celery.
And you, sir, are no Jack Kennedy. The I was thinking.
I know what you're doing.
I know. I suspect what you're doing. I need a little more evidence, but not much.
You didn't know it yet, but you will.
I paid $10 once to see a man-eating plant. It was just a dude eating broccoli.
Oh.
I was very disappointed.
So and then
the same day you got your pool pass at high school.
I feel like this is something Alexander Hamilton would have done to one of us, not the president, but our friend, who he would have been like, I got a booth set up with a man-eating plant in it. And it would be Ivar, other buddy Ivar, in there eating broccoli.
If
they haven't done it already,
I wish he was chopping it.
Yeah,
broccoli. Oh, even better. I was listening to last podcast this week, and they were talking about side stories, and they were talking about a guy that injected himself with magic mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. You can do that.
No,
yeah, of course.
No. You should not be doing this.
We can and should.
Well, what he did was he brewed a tea and then injected that tea into his veins. And after a few days, he started feeling bad, took him to the hospital. They took a look at him and found fungus growing in his blood and in his body.
My God.
So don't do that.
That is horrifying. Did he live?
Yeah, he's still alive, but
that's why you eat them. Your blood doesn't dissolve things, listeners. And
that's a good horror movie setup, though.
Yeah,
actually, your blood might dissolve things.
Is he a scriptwriter? Is he doing research or something?
I don't know,
Kelly. I like to think you saved someone's life just then.
Yeah,
and they're like, listeners, your blood doesn't dissolve things. If someone was just about to jam toothpicks into their veins, because they're like, eh, life in a pandemic.
Yeah, people are bored, so they're just shoving toothpicks up there.
We're just
then I took it back because I didn't want a bunch of our medical professional listeners to write in and say, well, Callie, actually your blood does dissolve this
right
and this.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't inject anything into your veins that wasn't prescribed by a doctor.
Best practice.
The number of doctors over the years, it is surprising. We have had emails from doctors a few times. One, we were definitely called out for something that we were wrong about. When the swine flu was happening, we were making jokes about it.
Never again will I make a joke about any virus.
Yeah, I'm done.
But
with
here's the thing.
Laughing at pandemics.
Nobody should take medical advice from us. We're
God,
not
no, not a yeah. bit of us.
So, yeah, take that with a grain of salt. We don't know. Maybe it's safe to put things in your bloodstream that are solid. No. We're not professionals. No. We can't recommend that you try it because you'll die. And then we will know it's not safe. But then it'll be too late for you.
That's the scientific method.
Yeah.
We actually sound like this QAnon people. We're just raising questions.
Yeah, I know. We're just asking questions.
Do your own research. Do your own research, man. Just do your own
research.
Source
on that?
Your source was a doctor on CNN? Okay.
Well, lizard person, you mean.
You might want to try something else.
Speaking of TV doctors.
What's the harm in raising questions? I don't get it.
Dr. Azar in NBC is hot.
Okay, Freddie. So, Andy, do you recommend Little Joe?
I do. But like I said, it's a little long, but I liked it a lot.
It's a little long. It's a Little Joe.
It's a little long, but I liked
little
it a lot.
Little Joe's a little long, if you know what I mean.
And the tooth.
Not so Little Joe.
Mm-hmm. That's what Andy said.
Oh, sorry, Andy.
What?
Did you say not so Little Joe?
No, because he was referring to how it was a little long.
And he also said, but he liked it.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I don't know if that's going to fit into my schedule.
All right, I got a Jack in the Box. We're going to pass it around, see who's up next. Who's going to start cranking?
Already cranking every one of
it's
us.
It's going to be me.
Oh, crank it, girl.
Crank, crank, crank with the trolley.
Up next is Freddy.
Well, that can only mean one
thing. You know
thing.
What that means.
Fuck. That was just mixing it up for the hell of it, you know.
That was weird. That wasn't the crank.
That wasn't the crank. That wasn't your grandfather's crank.
No, it wasn't.
So, Kelly, how do you feel about some sci-fi horror?
I love sci-fi horror.
This is on Hulu. It's called Sputnik.
Oh.
It's Russian.
It's called Sputnik. Yes. It's on the Playboy channel.
I think I heard about this.
When a spacecraft crashes to Earth, a psychologist evaluating the lone survivor in a secluded facility learns he may carry an alien parasite that threatens to consume them all.
I might have seen the trailer for this.
Yas, queen, but it's on the Hulus. So
nice.
I want you to watch it and let us know. That's what I will. Want.
I do like, I feel like all of the different streaming channels, their horror, or like either their originals or their exclusives, they all have different flavors.
True.
31.
It's interesting to me how like an Amazon Prime horror movie kind of feels like an Amazon Prime horror movie.
It does.
Movies have a certain feel.
I feel like Hulu's, Amazon Prime Hulu's
and Frankenstein's
is where you go for like creature features.
Well, also, do you feel like the curators of each, like, I feel like they have very small curation teams.
Yeah.
In that you're seeing like, yeah, basically this is like somebody's work of taste. Art. It yeah. really is. Yeah. It's like, these are the movies.
Like a playlist.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
What'd you do?
I overfilled.
Are you watering little
Joe? Oh my God. He's spilling water over here. Oh my God. Go get a towel out of
I'm going to get a towel. Do you want,
if you want to play the trailer,
I could,
we're going to move on.
I can do a
lot
of
things.
We're going to do things. We'll be right back. I spill water everywhere.
You gonna win?
I'm gonna dance.
There's a spot open in the chorus line. I think you should try out.
I got an audition.
Okay, lady, I got one interest here, and that's the show. I don't care whether you live or die. I want to see you dance, and I want to see you smile.
From the creators of Basic Instinct, The Last Time. They took you to the edge. This time, they're taking you all the way.
We take the cash, we cash the check, we show them what they want to see.
It's not about fair, it's about power.
You're a stripper, don't you get it?
I'm a dancer.
She's dazzling, she's exciting, and she's what Las Vegas is all about.
Showgirls. Leave your inhibitions at the door.
So, Amy, why Showgirls?
Because I wanted to watch something stupid and fun. When I say stupid, referring to movies, a lot of the time I mean that's fun.
Amy conflates fun with stupidity.
Now, this is the second time we are recording this introduction to this segment. For no reason.
Michael Scott, we do better the second time.
The second time.
It's because I wanted to watch the trailer twice.
Yeah. But Andy was, we were talking and Andy was listing the words he thinks of when he thinks of Showgirls. And I thought they were the most apropos. So Andy, if you want to repeat that list.
Oh, okay. Here's we're repeating it the second time because it's scripted now.
Yes.
It's not going to come out as naturally.
No.
But
you're repeating it the first time.
Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Technically. Just push my nose. Push my glasses up my nose now.
Mm-hmm. I'm like you're doing a bump of coke or something.
Yeah. Well, it works with the Showgirls thing, right?
Yeah.
You're watching this movie too much.
A little too much.
This movie is gross, it's mean, and flat.
And I said, flat,
yeah.
Are you referring to the asses?
There's some flat asses.
In there's
flat
some. Ass. They're not all flat.
No, you're
Massachusetts?
Right.
Massachusetts?
All right.
75-25.
Yeah, that's, I'll probably go. Yeah. That's a good rate, you know.
They're not bad. They're just flat. Why the long ass?
Why the long ass?
They're nice bottoms.
Okay,
but they're not bubble butts. They're not of the era now.
They're not MTS butts.
How body style changes always blows my mind. Yeah. That you can find something Irresistible in 1974, and then in the year 2005, some guy's like, yuck.
Nobody's saying yuck.
No, yuck. I'm not saying yuck either. Yeah. I mean, like, and I know you aren't.
Trends change, baby.
It's just interesting. I love all body types and shapes, except for gelatinous. If you are a gelatinous blob...
Oh, that's my favorite body type. Right?
Yeah. I can't...
Don't yuck my yum.
I'm sorry to give gelatinous blob people anxiety.
Well, listen, as long as they aren't exuding acid to try and digest innocent people...
Right. Like, if you're a cube of jelly...
I'm okay with a gelatinous.
And you've got swords and shields floating in you... I don't want any part of that.
I got you.
So, I was saying, watching this movie this time, my need to like understand the characters' motivations on a mental health tip. Did anything I just say make sense?
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, like, with the approach to this movie in particular.
And
I've
never thought of this movie in those terms until we watched it this time, and it like bummed me out a little bit. But as it went on, like at the beginning, I was like, oh, these people are making me sad because of all the reaction. Everything is a reaction from a very negative, mean place.
Even eating French fries.
Yes. That some nice lady bought you.
A nice person buys you French fries in the largest soda you've seen on film to date.
Yes.
That should have been on the poster.
Yeah, that should have been on there.
Special effect.
You behave like an asshole.
So much of the budget went into that soda.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when we were watching the trailer for Little Joe earlier during the roulette segment, there was a blurb, and it made me realize we'll never be blurbed on a big movie. Because it said a sinister delight. And if any one of you said that, my whole worldview would change.
Why?
Yeah. Because
can you imagine? I would say this movie was a sinister delight. And yeah. You'd be like, you can't be my friend anymore.
I'd be like, you weren't my friend anymore. The pod people got you.
Yeah.
So, the critics got you.
A luscious feast for the eyes.
That's what this movie is.
Yeah, this feast has got a lot of titties and twat in it.
Yeah. This movie is so fully from a male point of view. And I don't mean that like all men just want to look at titties and ass. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying like this idea of what it means to be a young woman who has been let down by society over and over again and been used and abused. In the way that she is portrayed on screen from that point of view, there's just,
you know, it reminds me of,
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
It's like an old Hollywood movie, right? Like Andy said when we were watching it, he's like, this is very much like what movie was that in particular?
All About Eve.
Like it has the sensibility and filmmaking of a film from like the 40s or the 30s even, but then there's titties and twat all throughout it.
Well, it's a classic movie setup of how be careful what you wish for because you just might get it, or like how a place corrupts you. But this girl was corrupted in the first place, so that her journey wasn't fully fleshed out because she didn't start off as this likable character that shows her, and we see her downfall. She started off as an asshole.
She's a total asshole.
Yeah.
That's so the only thing you could say.
The original title was An Asshole Persists. It's so like it's a Star is Born. But an asshole persists.
Because she was falling already.
Like the movie just starts off with her like hitching a ride with somebody. Yeah, eventually he does fuck her over, but you don't know that yet, and you don't and you just are just so mean. She's so mean to
you
everybody.
Know, also, you got
to
think, like, you've heard me use the word, if I don't want to offend anybody with the word twat. It's a stylistical thing. Stylistical. I think this genre of nudity is the tits and twat subgenre of nudity.
Yes.
Where.
Like soldiers, like sword and sandals?
It's like, yeah, like sword and sandals, pretty much. It's like very much designed to put butts in seats. Mm-hmm. In the most salacious way possible.
But it's also off-putting. I'll tell you what, Paul Verhoeven, again, I believe all of these movies are...
That's not
are
me beating off. That's my dog.
...are deliberately made the way they are. He loves unappealing nudity. And not all of it is unappealing. Certainly there, like, you catch yourself, at least I did, certainly every time I've watched it, like, yeah. But then also,
yeah,
he, all across, like, again, you look at Basic Instinct and this, he loves awkward, weirdly posed nudity, awkward, herky jerky sex. And I think it's, yeah, I think he finds it hilarious. And I think he wants to make you wonder, like, is this real? Like, is this meant? Okay. I think he wants you to question that.
Well, before the show started, Freddie and Kelly were saying that it's a satire and he's in on the joke.
I believe he always is.
For this movie, I feel like it would have been nice if he told the cast that.
I don't think Elizabeth Berkley knew.
It can't.
That's what I was saying. Not to get on a Paul Verhoeven soapbox, but I feel like, again, when you look at this and Starship Troopers, I think he deliberately hires actors of limited ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. No, you're right.
Doesn't that mean, though?
He was in on the joke.
You know, I don't even think it's that. I think he hires performers he knows he can kind of fool and tell them he's making movie A. But really, he knows all along he's making movie C, and B is what he told the producers he was making. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's a sneaky trickster. And he goes and he's like, here's the screenplay. These are your scenes. Don't worry about anything else. You come on the day. Give me your best. Here's the thing. You are a space marine. You're the only thing standing between these bugs and the destruction of your home planet. Casper Van Dien, I want you to go out there and give me soldier with honor and all this. And then, you know, you tell Neil Patrick Harris, you're playing a scientist. It's like, think of Bones from Star Trek, you know, and then they go and then he goes and cuts it together. And those actors are like, you got us to play Nazis when we thought we were playing the heroes.
Well, I think there's even
if you put it that way, then he's a fucking asshole then.
Well, I don't know if he's an asshole. I mean, he's getting the movie. He might get out of it.
If you tell, like, the actors one thing and, like, you do another, you're making them look like fools.
Well, I have no idea about
that. Nobody, it doesn't make you look like a fool if somebody tells you a lie and you're making
them look like bad actors if that's the direction you're given and you turn into something else, then.
You got to step back and you got to look at, like, I think Verhoeven looks at film as fun and games, not a serious thing.
Clearly,
it's not somebody's job. So, like, when he plays the game with those people, I think it's understood if you know it's on the performer to say, I know, okay, I'm going to work for this guy. Maybe I do some research. And then you're like, okay, I see what he does. And then you come in as a player in a game and not as part of your livelihood or something tied to who you are as a person. That's what makes them fun. And I'm totally okay with that. I don't think he's like, it's not sinister. It'd be like me manipulating you in a game of Werewolf.
Yeah. Plus I think like,
but I know I'm playing a game.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they know they're playing a game. They just don't know the outcome. So it's not like he's like, okay, you're only going to know X amount about what's going on because I just need something from you. And that's enough for it to be like a worthy endeavor, I think, from the performer's standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, go ahead.
I was just going to say, look at the sex scene. This is what I always come back to with this movie, and this is why I'm convinced. In the pool, what she is doing, the dolphin sex, there's no way that everyone on set wasn't aware. Like, I can just see him as a director saying, more dolphin-like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you splash more? Just imagine that you are a dolphin, and you've been captured in a net.
You've been
also having sex with Kyle MacLachlan. But more. Put more of that. Like, there's no way that was not that wasn't some incompetent bit of, like, I'm too schlocky to handle a real movie. Like, that was so deliberate.
I think everything in the movie was deliberate. And I also think it's a good movie.
Yes, that's all I'm saying. Unagreed. I do too.
But it's horribly acted, written, directed. But somehow.
No, it's beautifully directed.
It is.
And it's beautifully edited.
Okay, but regardless, I think that's where camp comes from. When you take something so seriously, but it turns out not what you expected.
Right.
That's why I value this movie as camp.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, like, it goes against like Freddie and Kelly are saying, like it was deliberate. I don't think it was deliberate. It is fine to believe that. It's just different. People have different thoughts. Okay.
People are different.
I just value this on a totally camp level because it's a failure on every level, except for Gina Gershon. I feel she's the only one that knew exactly what type of movie that she was in and what the outcome was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just feel that she just elevated the material, even though it's hard not to because the materials are so bad.
Right.
But she knew exactly what she was doing, I think.
I thought it was refreshing how differently written the dialogue was. What you might read as like bad, I just see as like, I don't see it as a bad scene. And this is probably like every pretentious film critic also probably talking
about
this movie.
But I do agree. I know what you're, I feel like I know what you're saying. This is how I see it too.
It's, this is the stagey. That's why I think of it as a movie from the 30s. Like if you go back and watch,
Tits and Twats,
like Meet Me in St. Louis or something like that, and just take all the sex out of Showgirls and make it black and white, and it fits in with that genre of movie, like lock and step. It feels like an old comedy from the 30s or like White Christmas or whatever.
I can't go down this road with you.
I don't remember ever had Julie Gard having a conversation about mice tits.
Yeah, well, you gotta take all the sex out.
You take that out, and here's the thing. It's not
you can't what, take the sex out no, of this no, movie. No. This movie's all sex.
My thing is, it's not what they're saying. It's how they're saying it. And how blunt they are. Because characters used to be real blunt, and everyone was like, that snappy dialogue thing was a trend then, and that's what you would expect when you went to the movie.
Is a snappy
and now
dialogue,
you just don't. What?
Is the snappy dialogue?
I don't mean snappy as in clever. I mean snappy in a musical sense.
I literally
sense.
Don't want to talk about okay. film theory anymore. I want to talk about all the silliness in this movie.
Yeah, it's super great. I love this movie.
I
feel like we're giving this movie a lot more credit than it deserves.
It's just pure entertainment.
It deserves credit for
it doesn't deserve this dissection of it.
No.
I think it's a lot more subversive than you guys are giving it credit
for. Well,
then
I'm happy. I want this movie to be a cult classic because I think
it's a cult classic.
If anybody misses out on the fun and joy that this can bring into your life, then I'm sad.
Yeah. If you compress what movies are, the timeline down when aliens have found Earth and they're rebuilding what our entertainment was.
Yes.
This will be close enough to those 1930s movies that it'll seem normal. It's going to seem normal to them because they're going to be experiencing things so much more quickly.
It's going to be all part of the same time period.
Right. The time period would be like, yeah, do you remember they used to make those great dramas that were really, I mean, they had like character and they had the lady who was the hooker with the heart of gold. And then they had Andy gave up. He's leaving. And, and like,
I'm close.
Like they would see that the aliens would see that. As just that era, and then one day there was boobies. And they're just like, there was that one weird one.
I don't want to ever live in a time where Showgirls is a normal movie.
Where it's just,
I want it to be special.
It is okay, special.
But, yeah.
But
and remain special.
Regardless of the satire or parody, like you need somebody to root for or relate to. And there's nobody in this movie.
Well, her roommate.
Yeah, that's about it.
Molly, was her name Molly?
Yeah.
But then she's the only kind, decent, and good person, and she gets raped.
Her wants and desires led to her downfall, too, in a way, because she wanted to see that music guy so much.
Yeah.
That she earned a violent rape.
Yeah, like her one violation was wanting to go out for some entertainment.
In Verhoeven's world, then... It's you have to have this moral code, and if you break it in any way, then it's going to lead to your downfall.
Like,
well, and also again, the only decent person,
the only
in the movie has a pretty rough time of it.
Do they even try to like rehab the strip club owner character?
No, they're the way they try to rehab him is so fucking condescending.
They tried,
and I was like, well, "What are we even doing?"
It's like a relativism thing. It's like compared to these guys, this guy's a super nice family guy.
But he raped her, right? Didn't they?
Well,
basically,
he asked for blowjobs from the new girls. Yeah. So
it's
clearly,
a lot of coercion.
Yeah,
not ask, demand.
And then him and the body lady with the booby trap. like
Henrietta Bazooms.
Henrietta Bazooms.
They're like, we're so proud of you. We're here to see your show. And I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to portray that like family of scoundrels, pushed to the extreme.
Yeah. Beyond the extreme.
In Verhoeven's world, as Andy said,
man, I'm telling you,
women can be friends, but there's always an undercurrent of sexual tension.
Yeah, as in will they, won't they sexual tension.
With all of the females in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like the relationship between Molly and Nomi, they were very handsy too.
Handsy.
Even though like it was purely like a friendship relationship.
We don't know that. We didn't see everything that happens.
The pillow fights that descend into an orgy.
Tickle fights, yeah.
That's what Verhoeven wants you to believe is always happening.
I think it's because he tried to build Nomi as his character that everybody just gives everything to as soon as you meet her.
When you said build Nomi, I imagined like, is there a Lego set for this?
Okay. Is talk about building Nomi. She doesn't talk like a human.
No.
She doesn't move like a human.
She's like a monster. In a way. She's a movie monster.
Yes.
She's like a fembot.
She's so awkward. Everything she like. People can take my comments here however they want. Like Elizabeth Berkley has a great body, looks great naked, but she moves so unsexily the entire time. Like it's weird parody. Like it's like what you said. It's like what a robot or an extraterrestrial thinks.
Yeah. Like, this is if they went back in time and they infiltrated the same aliens that watched the movie as part of that big stretch. They've come back to the 90s. They've gone into Elizabeth Berkley's body to make this movie happen. And the version we see is the Aliens remake.
It's like a reverse Terminator.
There was your brains.
So I looked up the choreographer.
Yeah.
Because in addition to Elizabeth Berkley not moving like a normal human being, the choreographer's real weird.
Yeah.
And it's this woman named Marguerite Derricks. And she's done work on Striptease, Showgirls, like I just said, the Austin Powers films.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3.
Well, no, they use those choreographers for all kinds of stuff. But
no.
In 3, didn't she do the dance where he does the hip wiggle?
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Everybody jokes about how terrible that is, that Spider-Man 3 dancing down the street.
Yeah.
Well, the choreography's not bad.
It's weird.
It's weird,
and honestly,
Peter Parker's doing it at all.
That's true. That's the parent folder of points that takes all the other points and throws them in the fireplace. That's a little file humor for you geeks out there.
How you like that?
And God, this movie is just jam packed of like iconic moments. And so we're watching it the other night, and we're like an hour through it, and I'm like, I haven't seen this part yet, or this part yet, or this part. It's just throwing these
iconic moments
at you. And it's...
That's one of the things I love about this movie. You can jump into any moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't need the plot. You can just watch it for what it is and still be entertained.
One character is going to be unnecessarily angry to the other one for no good reason.
I have a whole theory about this movie.
He's going to be naked.
And I know fan theories are lame, but I think our main character is the showgirl whose stuff was missing and was complaining. Cause I feel like I reframed the entire Showgirls movie in my mind near the end, where it's told a new version, kind of like how the New Witches starts with the old version of Chris Rock's mouse character telling the story. And then the rest of the movie is that it would be like that. I would get the Chris Rock rat to play like the old, I mean, like
what is even happening?
To say is the lady who was the other stripper who was like, where's my shit? And who brings their fucking kid to work?
It's like fried green tomatoes. Where it's like one lady is telling the story of the other two ladies.
Yeah. So you get the older version of that dancer. And she's telling the story, and she's telling it to a seminar about she started HR services for all the dancers in Las Vegas.
For sure, girls.
And now
she's like Norma Rae.
Yeah, exactly. She's like she's a showgirl Norma Rae character, and she's telling this story. And she points out all this shit that was all fucked up. She's like, this is what our work used to look like. They would steal my wigs. They would
push people downstairs.
Monkeys were shitting on the stage. Yeah. And we were slipping in shit, literally.
Now, if you bring monkeys into a strip show, you have to get a license to do that. Thanks to us. And
they have to wear a diaper.
Yeah. Well,
the monkeys are the strippers in this show.
And we've also replaced all the strippers with monkeys because now we understand human dignity, but not animal dignity.
We're getting there one step at a time.
Oh, my God. So thinking back to the dance sequences, like when she's...
Let's think back through the narrative, Amy. How does she introduce the dance sequences?
When she's stripping in the Cheetah Club, and then later when she's doing her auditions in the actual goddess show. Andy pointed something out that I didn't realize. All the noises that you hear had to be ADR'd.
It's just like that dancing in the street video without the music. And you think about that?
They had to. This is what happened too. They scheduled an afternoon.
Yeah.
They were like, Elizabeth, can you come in? What's good for you? Like Monday? Monday, we need to do some ADR. And they got her in a little room with just them and them. It's like them two
and
people.
Them. And some M&Ms.
Mom and them.
And a microphone. They were like, all right, just start popping off with some sounds.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Thrust it. Oh God, I want that to be my ringtone.
I wish you could find. I wish
when your grandma like calls,
yeah. I wish you thrust could find it, a soundtrack that has it. All the sounds.
Like, yes,
like a sound effect. Oh, geez. You know,
like a soundboard or something.
Showgirls, Foley, Showley girls. I don't like know. That's terrible.
I want a pull string doll, and when you pull the string, like Naomi, she goes, "Ooh,
that's awesome."
I'm a dancer.
Kelly, I was telling Andy about that episode of Toast of London where they go to do ADR for the porno movie.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen that one? Oh, shit.
No, I've only seen like two episodes of that.
It's so funny.
I will get back to it. I just haven't.
That's my, maybe I think I laughed the hardest. It's him and Ray Purchase, his arch rival.
Yeah.
And they get booked to do a voiceover job together. And when they get there, it's for a gay porno movie.
So back to Showgirl.
Yeah. So why it made me think of Showgirls for what reason? The ADR. Thank you. That's right.
I
thrust it.
I don't understand the mechanics of having to film a sex scene with somebody you just met and are working with on a set and to have to be completely buck ass naked grinding on them. I don't understand how that works. I would love to know more, not in a salacious way, but just enough from my own point
you
of
have
view,
modesty
my,
patches.
My comfort level. Yeah.
Modesty also, patches and they talk. And,
yeah.
And Amy, you're also being directed by Paul Verhoeven and you're not in on the joke.
No.
So he just says to you.
He's just abusing me.
Be violent in your sex.
You go back and look at Saved by the Bell and you're like, well, of course she was going to be all herky jerky when she tried to dance. We all saw her in Hot Sunday.
Yeah. It's true. It was basically, I said that to you. I was like, this is the I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared, Jesse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then this poor man that bails her out of jail. And then like, he does other nice things for her. Again, one sort of nice person, even though he kind of
he's just trying to get in her panties.
He's an asshole too, though. It's not like,
but he believes in her dancing.
Yeah, because he wants to get in her panties.
Well, he tried to get in her panties. She said no, so he went to other panties.
He did, because she had her period, right? Wasn't that the thing in the movie? But I just remember that being...
This movie just has to be that gross.
That's
Paul Verhoeven has to put in there that he has to reach into her pants and confirm for himself.
Yeah.
Like, that just had
that's
to be
over
in
over the
it.
Top moment.
Yeah. Ironically, there aren't a lot of over-the-top moments in the movie over the top. It's very grounded until the end.
It's very grounded. And it's just like, where is Naomi going to end up in the world?
Dead.
I mean, I think so, because she's so
or
mean.
In jail.
Like, where do you think Naomi is now?
She's just going to push her way through life like she does everybody.
Do you think Naomi...
59 years for murder.
She's going to be a running back for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I would be happy.
No, seriously, she pushes everybody in this movie, no matter where she goes.
At the 10, at the 15. She's running the wrong direction. No, she's running the right direction now.
Do you think
she's jerking. She's thrusting
like
it.
I see her touchdown dance.
Thrust it. Pop. Jazz hands.
That reminds me, we were watching the movie and he came over. He was masked. We stayed apart. I got to snuggle Guapo. Shut up.
Oh, Guapo is so sweet.
And I caught you doing the choreography a little bit over. Yeah.
And he was doing the dialogue in time with the actors. You could just re-record the whole audio track to this.
Is it this in Steel Magnolias?
Yeah, never watch Steel Magnolias or Showgirls with me because you're not going to hear the movie.
No, you were so seamlessly blended in. I just thought it was an echo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Andy owns the movie. But I didn't know he owned this box set. What is it? There's a whole poster of naked ass Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah.
Well, it comes with a game called Pinless Pasties on the Nomi.
Yeah.
That's what the poster is for.
And it has little rubber tassels. Cup tassels to put on it.
I want to get a garden Nomi to put out in my front yard.
Is that legal? I guess is what I'm asking. Can you put a garden Nomi out with children in the neighborhood and they'd be like, sir, is that Elizabeth Berkley in your flower bed?
As long as you say yes, it is legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you lie.
You're like,
Elizabeth Berkley. Does she have a little hat on, Kelly?
It has to. Yep. It has to be a Nomi, though. It can't be like a knockoff.
No. Yeah. Those suck. You got to go to Chinatown and they lead you into this really creepy room to get one.
A knockoff Nomi.
Knockoff Nomi.
But you also get the good ones in Chinatown. Don't get confused. It's a more lit, well lit place where you get them.
There's this famous scene, of course, in the movie where she tells the people that this dress is a Versace.
Yes.
Because she doesn't know it's pronounced Versace. They choose to kind of titter and laugh and not correct her. But when she leaves and says it's a Versace to Kyle MacLachlan, he's like, it's Versace.
He earned my trust then, and he violated your trust later.
Yeah. But if somebody came up to you, it was like, oh, do you like it? And they're so proud and happy, and they're like, it's Versace. How do you nicely explain?
It's
Versace.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's pronounced Versace. Yeah. I love you. You're still great. You're still enough for the world.
I would want you to tell me.
Yeah, I do. I always correct
I might not fix what I say, but I like people to say that's wrong. And I'll be like, thank you. And then I'll say it the wrong way again, because that's how I'm like, I just like knowing.
He's not going to correct it.
I'll
behavior.
Make a fool of myself, but I want to make a fool of myself on my terms.
On your own terms. I understand. As you should.
Versus.
I say words are pronounced however you pronounce them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because your point is trying to communicate to the ones you love, and they get you, and they don't need you to decode things.
That's right.
Do we have any other thoughts on Showgirls?
Dialectics, man.
Other than that, it's a trashy good time?
No, enjoy the hell out of that movie.
Watch it with friends. It makes it a lot better.
Yeah.
You say watch it what?
With friends.
With friends, yeah.
I don't disagree.
Absolutely.
And he said watch it with your G-string on.
With a cast of friends.
With a bowl ice,
G-string,
a big gulp,
Rachel's nipples,
large basket of fries.
Those fries are good, though. I love crinkle cuts.
I'm just so mad at her. This nice person bought you these things, and you're behaving like a goddamn child. I know something bad just happened to you, but accept the good.
You know, the eating.
She just, her life has been, everyone ends up doing something shitty to you, so just...
Everybody wants something from you, I think, is her perspective.
Yeah. Everybody
so she's like, some. If she's giving me fries in this, the largest drink ever shot on film to date, that if she's giving me those things,
I wish
she wants something more valuable from me than these things.
What'd you say, Kelly?
I was going to say, I wish the drink had been practical effects and not CGI. I would have bought it.
Yeah. Back in the day, they would have used a real drink. But they had to. And men had to stay late at work. Because back then it was only men.
Yeah.
So.
Showgirls. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
There was something we were just talking about with motivations, like in her eating the fries.
Yeah.
It was like one of those prison things. Or no, it's like when a sword and sorcery character is out in the wild and hasn't eaten for days, and they meet the old witch who has the hut, and they bring the warrior like a piece of bread and mutton, and they just kind of tear into it, you know, and they don't trust the witch. So they're kind of looking at the witch like, why are you feeding me? And the witch is like, I'm going to fuck you by my fire tonight and try to eat you. And then, and he's like, is this still pretty good? And he stays and he fucks her. And she's like, Zamora. It's like Conan is what I'm saying. Showgirls and Conan.
It's the exact same movie, basically. It's
basically the same story told through a different lens.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
But you get it. She just doesn't trust her. She knows she's going to want. If you bought me a burger and the largest drink on film to date, you're going to want from me a chili dog with the smallest milkshake filmed to date, which ironically costs way more than what you gave me.
Yeah, so, well, a tiny milkshake. It's not easy to make.
So I'm going to give you $3.50. Okay. That's for you. So that you were, if we're at, if we have equity now.
So next. What?
When you put it that way, Freddie, I forgive all her horrible actions in this movie.
Yeah.
And all the people that she shoved.
Because her motivation is, if you treat me nice, that means you want something from me.
But she treated random people awfully. Mm-hmm.
She thinks if somebody is even coming at her, they want something from her. She doesn't answer her phone except to say, fuck off. She's that kind of character.
She is that kind of character. She just thinks everyone is a monster like her.
Yeah.
So she's like the Terminator, right? She scans everybody before she sees.
You could think of her as the Terminator. That's a great example because she's scanning them and she's like, I want his clothes and his bike. But if I take his clothes and his bike, he's going to try to take my shotgun. So what I'm going to do is kill everyone in the bar.
So next week is our listener pick. And what did Brandon select?
Oh, so excited about this choice.
It's a good one.
I was excited about this choice too, by the way.
Yes. Thank you. These are always fun series. Nobody picks anything crappy. Mm-hmm. But Brandon is, he's chosen something that I'm surprised we've never covered before.
I've thought about doing this so many times for Staff Picks Podcaster's Choice and just always ended up moving on to something else. But
yeah, I'm so happy you picked it. It's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, you
have? The greatest of the Abbott and Costello Meets movies.
It is.
Probably the greatest of their movies, period.
You don't like Abbott and Costello
Meet Nomi Malone?
Meet for Children.
She is a monster.
She is.
That's my favorite Abbott Costello Meets movie.
It's not as good.
If they're going to reboot the Universal Monsters series, Nomi Malone would make a great monster.
She'd be a great bride. Day. Did you say bride, Kelly?
Modern day.
I didn't.
Because the way she moves and jerks around, you could easily do an animation.
Easy.
If you're an artist who does things like that easily. You could easily do it if you had the skill and the resources, whereas I couldn't do it. But you could make a cartoon of Nomi Malone as the Bride of Frankenstein and just have her move the way she does in Showgirls, and it would not look out of place whatsoever for that character.
Not at all.
So.
Oh, so.
So that's next week. And then Kelly, you have the roulette movie, right?
That's what you tell me.
And on Wednesday, patrons, you're going to get a new Topicana. I'm going to tell the boys what the question is now, even though we don't record till tomorrow night, so they can mull. Are you ready for this? This made me giggle so hard when it occurred to my brain a couple weeks ago. So I made a note. Aliens have invaded Earth. How do they shit and why are they here?
Oh, that's a good one. This is a conversation that Amy and I had just sitting on the couch.
After some jazz lettuce.
How do they shit? Why are they here?
Yeah, how do they shit?
And why are they here?
And why are they here?
Shit.
Because she said.
This is going to get super scientific.
Mm-hmm. She said, how do aliens shit? And I said, and why are they here? That is literally how this question was constructed.
Yes. And then I laughed for 4 years.
Yeah, she just was laughing hysterically about it. And then I told her, I said, make sure you write that down. That's really good. Because she was like, I'm going to make that my question. And I'm like, you will forget if you don't write it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later, it was rediscovered accidentally, right? And you were like, why do they shit and why are they here? And then you're like,
how do they shit? We know why they shit.
Did I say, why do they shit?
All right. So
why do they shit?
Freddie.
These are the questions we don't ask. Is it tied to why they are here?
At the end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. Again, go to patreon.com/NOTLP if you would like to support the show. Uh-huh. And we are going to start with Mrs. Elise Combrink.
See you in a second, sweetie.
Ernest Perez.
See you in a second, sweetie.
Amanda Galecko.
See you in 2 seconds, sweetie.
That's sweet.
Mark.
I want to say, sorry, Amanda, about your cat.
Oh, no.
What happened? She had to put a cat down?
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Otherwise, I would have sent you a message.
Sorry about that, Amanda. We love you.
I am going to go back to my jubilance, but know that I feel for you. Mark Watts!
Don't feel less than because I'm not going to keep kissing everyone. Yeah. Just know you all get it.
You all get kisses.
I said your name in a sweet way.
Blake Heath!
Don't have the energy.
Everyone gets a kiss.
Bill Farner!
Unless you don't want it, and then you get a forced kiss.
Tree and Alex McNulty!
What up?
Jeff All!
Smooches.
Iona Goodwin!
I smooch a great one.
Thank you. Brandon and Emily!
The curator of next week's main attraction, Brandon.
Adam Ingram!
You are top billed on our little dance at Cheetahs.
Bill Chandler!
Bill, I could see you being a DJ at one of these strip clubs. You're like, here comes Alyssa Boom. We call Alyssa Boom.
Alyssa, put some respect on her name.
Now come to the stage.
Blaine Turner
taking the main stage.
Monica!
Monica's coming out of the ceiling on ribbons.
Brian
bursting out of the floor with hand grenades.
And Carla Gibson.
Carla Gibson pouring a gallon of milk because there's a theme.
That got real weird real quick. All right, we're done.
Welcome.
The story of my life. That's a good memoir title, too. Mm. That got real weird real quick.
Yep.
The Amy Morris story.
Very true. All right, you guys, I love you boys for doing this show with me.
Nicely done.
I love our listeners for being here with us. And I love good things.
Pizza.
That too. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Bye. Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys.
If he should go to bed, when his old buddy Leatherface put on